unless I had a really big straw. Action. Oh, well, hello and welcome to the webinar, which is an overview of a research project I did with some students last year. And we're going to see how, by using the Classmate, we were able to remediate some pretty disabled young students and had some surprising results in the meantime. Next slide, please. A total of 29 students who were identified with language-based learning disabilities from grades 9 through 12 participated in the study. They were selected because they either were due to go to college next year, in that they were seniors, or because they were students who, despite remediation, had had persistent difficulties in being able to internalize and assimilate reading skills. So some students were dyslexic, some students had auditory processing issues, some students had ADHD, and most of them had a combination of one, if not all, of the above. All the students attend a school called the Lab School of Washington. It's a school that's K through 12, and it is designed for students who have a diagnosed learning disability in the form of a language-based learning disability. The school is renowned for an arts-based curriculum, in that the arts are used to teach and remediate students who have average to above average IQ and are in a college-bound program. The pedagogy is diagnostic prescriptive. We have psych evaluations on all the students, and so we're able to use their cognitive strengths to remediate their weaknesses. And lessons are usually no more than 8 to 9 students at most, and each student would have an individualized curriculum as part of their college-bound program. There were many highlights and struggles during my time with the students. The highlights were the success we had, and you'll see that when we go through the data. There were successes in areas that I was not expecting to see, having worked with this population for 12 years, and actually having worked with 7 of the students when they were in elementary school. We're well aware there's no quick fix with this kind of complex cognitive profile, but some of the gains the students made were quite remarkable. The struggles were the struggles I think you always have with LD students who are also ADHD or have ADD. They have a low frustration tolerance. They have a lot of history academically with not being successful. They have a lot of experience trying to sit in classrooms where they're skill set in reading and written language is not commensurate with their intellect, and so even when you're introducing technology, you know, the struggles are getting through the defense systems that the kids have put in place and building their confidence and making them feel like they can be successful. The technology we used in this research was the Classmate, made by Humanware. It's a handheld text reader. Students also used other forms of technology in the program they were studying. They used Dragon Naturally Speaking, they used Kurzweil, they used Win, and they also learned how generally to use Microsoft Office products to remediate their learning issues. We'll look in a moment at the charts which show before and after testing, and we'll see what could we really tell after 8 months of use of the Classmate. And then lastly, we'll look at changes that were recommended for the future. And there will be points where you can ask questions throughout the presentation. So So, before I start talking in depth about the research project, you know, I had been a teacher of students with language-based learning disabilities for 12 years. I had had the opportunity to work with both elementary, middle and upper school students of a variety of different profiles. And I was surprised that when I first began to look at assistive technology, I was being met with some concern and resistance from colleagues I held in very high esteem, that they were concerned that we were kind of avoiding the issue of teaching children to read, and this issue of whether we are doing remediation or accommodation was constantly brought up. And I really believe now, having worked for 2 years with these students and the technologies that are available, that this is very much a false analogy where people are kind of losing the focus of what we're trying to do. Accommodations, if they are, for example, using an audio text reader, is also a remediation, because children will be exposed to print, albeit in electronic form. They will be able to enjoy books commensurate with their intellect, and you will see an improvement in their comprehension skills. So I think initially some of the concerns, and sometimes these are expressed by parents, that we are making kids dependent on a technology rather than teaching them the skills, is kind of a false analogy, because what we're doing is recognizing these children cannot access the printed word because of their reading issues, and we're giving them an alternative so that they can enjoy material which is commensurate to their intellect and allows them to actually fully actualize their intellect in a curriculum. If using technology didn't increase students' skills, then I too would have concerns, but I think when we look at the research, we'll see exactly the opposite is true. Just to give you a short overview of the project, the Lab School of Washington was founded and directed until last December by Sally L. Smith, who sadly passed away last December 2008. She is known internationally as a visionary in the world of the learning disabled community. She had already implemented in the curriculum something called the club method, which was a way of teaching students by immersing them into history to teach them social science. So the little ones might learn about the prehistoric age, they would dress as cave people, and they would go into a classroom that looked like the inside of a cave, and they would do hands-on learning. And initially I think people were concerned that technology didn't really fit with this very arts-based, hands-on, multisensory teaching. However, when you look more closely at technology, it is, of course, in essence, hands-on, and it is, in essence, multisensory. So the only thing I had to do was to make sure that the pedagogy I used to introduce technology at the Lab School of Washington was true to the vision and pedagogy of Sally Smith. And when the two came together, I think it is why our students have seen such extraordinary gains in their reading skills by using technology. So the presentation will kind of explore that it isn't just the technology that was the solution here, but 50% of this, or if you like, the other side of the coin, is how that technology is introduced and the pedagogy that goes behind scaffolding children into using it. So, how were the students selected? All students diagnosed with a severe learning disability were performing below expectations during their academic time due to weak reading skills. These were students who already had individual or group speech pathology teachers working with them 1, 2, or 3 hours a week. They also had occupational therapists working to support them as well in acquisition of academic skills. So remediation had been woven in and been a constant part of their school experience. However, these students still were not making the gains that they needed to be able to be successful independent learners. About 18 months ago now, working with Sally Smith, I designed a new assistive technology course that would be deliberately designed to target these children who had had a long history of frustration in school, and also those children who would shortly be leaving us to go to college. The testing process was that we gave a test called the Woodcock-Johnson Revised, the third edition test. It's given every year to our students. It is an academic assessment, so it attests the student's ability to perform academically. And we look at these scores along with their cognitive profile to work out how best to remediate them. The tests were done prior to the students engaging in the research, and then they were tested afterwards to see what gains had been made. And you'll see that we looked particularly at the reading part of that test. There are also math scores on that test, and there are also areas of that test that just look at the student's general academic knowledge. These are not reported because they weren't pertinent to what we were doing. Factors that we need to consider when we look at the charts that we're about to see. Obviously, anybody who's worked with adolescents, be they ones with learning disabilities or without, you know, attitude is indeed everything. These students are very used to being tested. They can sometimes be resistant to testing, and they sometimes can put forth minimal effort during that testing as a way of protecting themselves, because it's not a test that they know they can do well at. And with smart students, no matter how much you tell them that we're not going to make judgments, of course, any of us sitting in a test that where we can't do a large percentage of it, if we're smart, we're going to find ways to not give 110%, because it becomes a very difficult and painful procedure. The other thing I need to mention is that the Woodcock-Johnson is scored according to standardized norms, and those norms were changed in 2008, and so that should be bear in mind when we look at the research data. When we're reading the graphics, I will go through and I will explain what the different categories are, why they were chosen, and what are the skills that they show the students need to access academic learning skills in the classroom. So here we have our first chart, and let me go through one by one. I think some of you will, first of all, you'll say, well, why some of these are negative numbers, and I will say something about that at the end. But let's first look at the categories that are on the screen. Letter word ID is the first category, and I want you to know that this test requires that students read isolated letters and words only. It's a measure of reading decoding or sight recognition, including reading readiness skills. It is not necessary for the student to know the meaning of the words as they are presented in the list. So those of you who work with learning disabled students know they're perfectly able to read words that they don't actually understand, and that's some of the reason why we see issues in comprehension. Reading fluency, the second category. This is a test that requires the student to read simple sentences quickly and indicate if the statement is true or false by circling yes or no. It's a test of reading speed and automaticity. So we're really looking at fluency here and whether those reading decoding skills are automatic in the student. Usually a low score in this is an indication of a limited basic reading skill, but the student's inability to concentrate will also lower their score. And again, those of you who are used to working with ADHD kids, you know the formula of high interest, low difficulty, the students will focus. Here we're looking at a high difficulty, low interest, and so it's very difficult for them to sustain attention. The third category, passage comprehension. This is a test that requires the student to read a passage silently, to comprehend the information, and to provide a missing word. It's a measure of reading comprehension and lexical knowledge. Now, some of our students may actually understand, but they will struggle to be able to retrieve the vocabulary to be able to put the correct word in the missing space. And that's what we mean by lexical knowledge. It's that fund of vocabulary that the students have in their brain. Of course, some of my students just don't have a very big fund of vocabulary words. Other students have a fund but can't retrieve it due to exact function issues. The last category, and I think this is a more familiar one to nearly everybody, is the word attack. This test requires that the students read phonetically. Now, the words are nonsense words. They wouldn't be a word the child has ever seen before. They might be a word like, let me think of a nonsense word for a moment. Always hard. Fog. Well, fog is a real word. Fug. F-U-G. Fug. So if you saw the word fug, you could only read it if you could decode f-u-g and blend it together. The reason for the nonsense words is that it means that we screen out any reliance the student has on sight memory. And obviously a lot of kids with weak phonetic skills survive by reading just from memory. So you will see also that we have, thank goodness, more above the line than below. And some of you may have a question about why are some of the children in negative scores. And you will see that we have student number 4 in passage comp has gone down 13%. Again, this is probably due, knowing that student has severe ADHD, that low score was probably due to lack of focus or impulsivity when answering than it was to actually do with core skills. Because the other thing you will see, that same student, if you notice on word attack, went up 50%. Okay, so that's the anomaly there, and I have the advantage of actually knowing the whole profile of the child rather than just looking at raw data. Of course, you will also see student number 3 has negative on word attack. They went down 4. And that could be that it just outstripped where they were because these are age-normed. So they may have got more right than the year before, but they're still just a student with extremely weak reading skills. Number 1, that student also had a negative 9 in the word attack. So that again is an indication of how difficult it is for students to stay within the age norms. They just may have had a really good year last year, and you know, it could have been an off day for them. But you will see, most importantly, that for nearly all the students, we see significant gains in the areas of reading fluency. Obviously, reading fluency is one of the key areas we need to look at because of the history students have trying to integrate phonetical skill into the reading process. It means that it's very hard for our students to actually become fluent readers. It was a shock to see the increase in reading fluency scores, and you'll see it on these students 1 to 5, and if we look at the next slide, you'll see again reading fluency for all the students. They made significant gains. We have, again, we have a couple of these negatives sweeping in. Again, that's passage comp, and then student 10, word attack. That may well be a memory issue for them. They're a student who survives almost entirely. Number 9 is a student who survives almost entirely by visual memory because they have quite profound auditory processing issues. So that's kind of the explanation because I know the whole student. If we could look at the next slide. Again, you see a constant increase in reading fluency, and you also see a significant gain in letter word ID. Again, because students are exposed to text albeit electronic text, they're just interacting with the printed word, or in this case the electronic word, far more frequently than they had ever done. You are beginning to see that they are able to hold on to their knowledge of the formation of words and surviving very well. Their letter word ID has come up significantly in all of the students. Their fluency has increased because they are actually able to experience what a fluent reader sounds like. And on the Classmate, there is a speed button, so they're allowed to change the speed of the reader at the rate in which they process. Now, for us who are fluent readers, it may appear to be far too slow. For the ADHD kids, we might feel they're listening to someone far too fast. The important thing is that they're able to hear the reader at the rate at which they are comfortable and which they are effective to cognitively process that information. And so for the first time, they are able to be able to hear at a rate that is fluent. And of course, once they begin to hear fluent readers, they then have a ballpark of how to read at that rate. All of these students would be extremely disfluent, and it's one of our kind of biggest concerns, and the thing we work hardest at is to try and improve the fluency, because fluency, we know, has a significant impact on comprehension. Could we look at the next slide? And here we have the Classmate Reader. You will see that it is handheld, which was extremely useful for our students. You can just see in the picture on the edge, there's two little white buttons, which are the speed that I was talking about earlier, and there's a toggle switch where they can also change volume. You can see that the screen is quite large, and it was absolutely essential, and I think it was probably the most significant part of the gains our students had, that they must see the text as they hear it. For our students, the luxury of just listening to a text without having the visual in front of them is not going to be an effective remediation. Partly for the ADHD kids, they can't sustain focus, but they're also then not associating what they hear with what that word looks like, and so they're not building their visual memory. There are also a number of tools on board with the Classmate that were very important to building students' comprehension. So I've talked slightly about the speed, which was probably the major issue. For some of my students with visual processing issues, the ability to change the size and the color of both the font and the background was very significant to them and actually allowed them to interact far longer in the reading process. And of course, the flexibility of being able to download different types of audio files was very important for the students to become independent and feeling empowered to be able to surf the net, find the resources they wanted, and on days when they just wanted to enjoy listening to a novel that they weren't studying at school, they also had the option of using MP3 players, iPods, etc. And so they could switch to the method they most preferred. But what we began to find is that the students not only wanted to take the Classmate home, but became quite addicted to using it at night for pleasure reading, which is significant for me because the majority of the students with learning issues rarely, if ever, read for pleasure, because reading is such an arduous task, and for the first time the profound difficulty was removed and they were allowed and had the opportunity to interact with a novel which friends and peers had been talking about, you know, and for most LD kids they have to go to the cinema and watch it as a movie to take part in those conversations. And now a lot of them actually would go to the movies and see movies of books and then come to me and say, can I get this on the Classmate, because I really want to read it and see how different it was from the film. So it's little moments like that that let you know just what a significant difference, albeit small, piece of technology can have in the life of a non-reader. Good, Brenda. Okay.